hunger. Hunger is one of the most basic of human experiences. And it's also one of the most powerful motivators in human life. Look at the way hunger motivates you. Hunger motivates individuals and entire masses of people. It is a powerful motivator. Hunger will make people do strange things, difficult things. Fear of hunger is also powerful. The Israelites who followed Moses into the desert out of Egypt began to realize just how far they had traveled in the desert away from Egypt. There was now no way to return to Egypt and survive. Somehow they had survived this far, and they began to know their hunger for food and that they didn't have any more of it. And that fear overpowered their spiritual values. And they began to fear dying of hunger in the desert, and they began to grumble against God and Moses and his brother Aaron. They said, "Would that we had died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you had to lead us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine." That was fear. A very human fear. As we grow and mature, we discover that we have hunger and we come to grips with fear of hunger on many different levels. Some hungers for food. Some hungers can be for many other things, for sex, for attention, for money, power. And another hunger that we don't talk about enough is spiritual hunger. And yet, one of the best ways to talk about spiritual hunger is to put it in the context of hunger for food. Spiritual hunger is also powerful. And it's the reason you're here. It's the reason people come into the confessional with me. It's the reason people receive the sacraments. God created us to know and experience hunger. Every single one of us has experienced it. Hunger is also controllable. Many times we forget that. You see a child at the table and he grabs everything. He can grab the food off your plate and try and eat it. But you teach them to have some self-control. We can relate that over to the spiritual hunger and how we learn and grow spiritually if we learn how to fast from material food. It's training the same muscle, a self-control, that if we can control that need for what is worldly, we can make room for those things that are spiritual and heavenly. It's a tool. Very traditional tool, and you see it throughout Scripture. Now, Jesus uses the concept of natural hunger to teach us the importance that faith is greater than hunger and worldly food. In the preceding story, before this today's gospel, the one we read last week, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now the crowds were still following him, the same crowds. But only to have more food for their bellies. And he calls them out on that. He said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You're only coming because you filled your bellies. That's all this is all about. Do not work for food that perishes. They had just made a long trek following Jesus in boats and on foot to come to the same place where he had wanted to have some time away with his apostles. And they had worked hard to get there. And he told them, don't work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And with these words, he began to get them to relate physical hunger with spiritual hunger. It's a really good tool he's using. And hunger for food that, not for food that perishes, but food that is imperishable. He asked them for faith in him. Now, just like love, faith is a choice. A lot of people treat it like an emotion. Say, oh, I just don't have it. Like it was supposed to be something that just happened to you. Love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. It's a decision. Faith is not an emotion. Faith is a choice. It's a decision. It's not enough to just say, I believe. And many of us resist that decision. We refuse to make that step, choosing instead the things of this world, the food of this world, and the goods of this world that perish, things that don't last. And often the problem is that our hunger for food and the things of this world become major distractions for us. And they get in the way. That's why fasting is so helpful for us. They don't satisfy us, and we always want more. And we become slaves to these hungers. And Jesus wants us to be free. God made us free. And somehow we have to find a way to free ourselves from those hungers for things that perish. In the desert, the Israelites would have even accepted slavery. They said, if only we could go back to Egypt and be with our flesh pots. See the equivalency they're making here, the value judgment, that they would give up their freedom for food that perishes. I think oftentimes we're a lot like that. God gave them manna from heaven, bread and quails to eat, and with that sign from God, they continued to follow Moses to the promised land. It's a beautiful thing to meditate on, how God nurtured them from physical hunger to seeking spiritual treasures. And that's what Jesus is doing in that gospel story. He's telling us how to quench our spiritual hunger. But first, we must believe in him. That's the first step. We have to make that decision. Lord, I choose to believe. If you don't make that choice, then there's not much else waiting for you, because he's not going to force himself on us. So they ask God, they ask Jesus, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. That's the work. And that's our work today. We must choose Jesus. It's not much more complicated than that. It's a choice, and faith is a choice. Now, paganism is also a choice. Paganism is a choice to not believe in God and to live as if God did not exist. We see it all around us. We live in the midst of paganism, of choices and decisions. No, I will not believe. I do not believe. And somehow we have to live in that midst. And it gets harder for us, perhaps, to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. St. Paul laid this decision before the Ephesians in that second reading, and he made it a choice. He just laid it on the table for them, and he said, you must no longer live as the Gentiles and pagans do, in the futility of their minds. That's not how you learned Christ. Assuming that you've heard of him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus, that you should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in God's way in righteousness and holiness of truth. He's calling them to task. You can't have it both ways. Make a choice. And holiness is a choice. It's a way of life. Faith in Jesus is a choice. And we're pagans if we don't make that choice. It's that simple. And we have to embrace it. Now, belief in Jesus means acceptance of him. It means hunger for him in the bread that never perishes. And the bread of the Eucharist that he was promising in that gospel. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. Remember, if you hunger for eternal life, Jesus offers us, after we're baptized, three things. It's as simple as this. Like it says in the Ten Commandments, the third commandment, keep holy the Sabbath or don't miss Mass. It's not arbitrary. It's a commandment. That's if we want eternal life. And the second thing is, and Jesus says, receive Holy Communion every chance you get. For as he says, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood has eternal life in him. That's a promise. It's a promise of eternal life. It's part of the decision. So first, don't miss Mass. Second, receive Holy Communion every chance you get. And third, when you fall off the bicycle, and we all fall off the bicycle, then get back in the confessional so that we can get back in line, be reunited, reconciled back into the community, into the unity of the church and communion with the church. That is the way. Jesus is the way. That's our sacramental life. That's the sacramental life of the church. That's the road to eternal life.